Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, brother.
Everybody excited to be here on Sunday morning?
Amen.
Y'all know what it is, right? What Sunday is?
Selection Sunday.
So, some of y'all at home, it is Selection Sunday. Hopefully our teams will make it still. But we know one of them won't. Bruce's team won't make it. They have no chance. Hey, but it is still part of our Lent season, isn't it? Today is the second Sunday of Lent, and your title today is this: Call to Stand Bold in Jesus' Unshakable Mission. The call to stand bold in Jesus' Unshakable Mission. Y'all know He tells us to be bold, right? Be bold in the Word. Amen? Are y'all excited for that today? Y'all, the main scripture is going to come from the book of Luke, chapter 13, verse 31 through 35. Luke 13, 31 through 35, NIV version says it this way. At the time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to Him, "Leave this place and go elsewhere. Herod wants to kill you." He replied to them, "Go tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem." Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and when you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Amen. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, Lord.
Lord, as always, I ask you right now, get Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Lord, allow your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Lord. Lord, may be your words and not mine and our message, Lord. May you open our heart, mind, and soul, Lord, to the blessing that you have in that message, Jesus. Lord, as always, may we grow a little bit closer to you, Lord. May we want and desire more and more and more of you every day, Lord. Lord, as we continue the celebration of our Lent season, Lord, with our second Sunday service, Lord. Lord, we just ask you to just touch each one of our hearts today, Lord, with the message that you give us, Lord. Lord, we ask you to be with us through the rest of the service. In your name I pray. Amen. Now, that's your main scripture, but your first scripture comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, 17. Through chapter 4, verse 1. Philippians 3, 17 through 4, 1. NIV version says this: "Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lovely bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I long and love for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends." Stand firm in the Lord this way. See, told you, stand bold, right? And we're going to talk about Jesus' unshakable mission and our boldness. Amen. We're truly called to stand firm as citizens of heaven. as we journey through this season of Lent, is a time of reflection. It's a time of renewal. We're reminded of the call to persevere in our faith. The Apostle Paul, in this letter to the Philippians, offers us an encouragement, don't he? And a challenge also to follow the example of other faithful believers, to keep our eyes fixed on our heavenly, right? Our heavenly citizenship, not the earthly realm, right? And to what? Stand firm in the Lord, amen? We can truly imitate Christ through these faithful examples. Verse 17, Paul urges the Philippians to join in imitating me and to observe those who live according to the example that you have in us. As Christians, we're not meant to walk this journey alone, are we? But we are meant to walk it together. Amen? We need spiritual mentors, don't we? People who model faithfulness to us, who model perseverance for us, and who model Christ-like love for us. Amen? Paul himself serves as such an example, pointing always to Christ and not to him, right? This Lent season, let us each reflect on the people who have guided us in our faith and consider how we also too might be examples for others coming up in their faith. We also see the contrast between the earthly and the heavenly mindsets in verse 18 to 19. Paul warns those whose minds are not set on earthly things. He grieves for those who live in their own desires rather than for Christ. Amen? That truly is a sobering reminder that not all paths lead to life, do they? Some lead away from God. Lent is a time for us to examine our own hearts. Are we seeking earthly satisfaction? Or are we always striving, like Paul was, to grow in our holiness? Do we place our ultimate hope in the things of this world? Or do we place our trust in God's eternal purposes? Because we do have one true citizenship in heaven, don't we? Verse 20:21 says, Paul reminds us that our citizenship is in heaven. This is the heart of our Lenten journey. We are all called to live not as people of this world, right? But as those who belong to the kingdom of God. Jesus will transform us, our lowly bodies, into the likeness of His glorious body. This promise should shape our lives every day, shouldn't it? Giving us hope and courage to endure suffering, knowing that our future is truly secure with our Christ and in Christ. Amen? And that allows us to truly stand firm in the Lord itself. 4:1, Paul ends the passage with an exhortation. Stand firm in the Lord. This is a call to perseverance. The Christian life is not always easy, is it? But we are strengthened by the grace of God and the support of our community. Lent invites each one of us to renew our commitment to prayer, to renew our commitment to fasting, to renew our commitment to acts of charity, so that each one of us can be truly steadfast in our faith. As we continue through Lent, let us take Paul's words to heart. May we follow faithful examples. May we reject worldly distractions. May we live as true citizens of heaven, not earth. And above all, let us each stand firm in the Lord, knowing that He is our strength and our true salvation. Amen? Now, your main scripture today, Luke 13. 31 to 35. Again, the season of Lent calls us for reflection, repentance, and renewed focus on the mission of Christ Himself. In today's passage, Jesus was faced with a warning, wasn't He, from the Pharisees about Herod's threat. Yet, He remains resolute in His journey to Jerusalem. It didn't stop him, did it? It didn't even slow him down, did it? This passage highlights Jesus' courage, don't it? His compassion and his commitment to God's divine plan and that he was living. Because he truly had an unwavering mission. Verse 33, or 31 through 33. Pharisees come out to Jesus with that warning. Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. That warning could have been sincere, but it might have also been an attempt to derail Jesus' mission by the Pharisees.
Amen.
However, Jesus himself responds with fearless determination. He calls out Herod first, don't he? He says, Herod, or he calls him and refers him as what? An old fox. A term that signifies cunning, but also an insignificant in the place of God's plan. Jesus knows that no earthly ruler can truly stop what God has already ordained. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. Jesus stayed the course through this, didn't he? He speaks of the coming, or the continuing his work today and tomorrow. And what? And the third day, I will finish my course. His reference there to 3 days hint at his true resurrection, don't it? Showing his foreknowledge of his death, his suffering, and his triumph over the grave. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and on that third day be raised. Amen. And we truly see Jerusalem as a destination, don't we? Jesus understands that he must go to Jerusalem itself. For it is there that prophets are martyred. Despite the city's history of rejecting God's messenger, he moves forward with a divine purpose, don't he? Fulfilling Isaiah 50, verse 7. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint. He truly shows a heart of compassion too, don't he? Verse 34. Even as Jesus speaks of Jerusalem's rejection, his words herself are filled with deep sorrow and deep love. Jesus expresses his longing to gather the people like a hen gathering her chicks. This metaphor itself shows each one of us his protection, his love, and his care, despite our unwillingness to come to him sometimes. This echoes Psalm 91:4, where it says, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. And you will see repeated rejection. Jesus grieves over the city's continued rejection of God's messengers. Their refusal to recognize God's visitation results in a spiritual desolation. John 1:11 says, he came to his own, and his own people, what? His own people did not receive him. They rejected him. Amen. And we truly see God's heart for the lost in this, don't we? This verse reminds us that God's desire is always to save and to shelter his people. But he does not force them, does he? He don't force us. His love is offered freely, but not forced, is it? But it must be received. Ezekiel 31:11 says, say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. And Jesus truly drops a prophetic warning in here in verse 35, don't he? As he closes this lament, he issues a solemn declaration. The forsaken house. Your house is forsaken. Signifies the coming of the destruction of Jerusalem itself, which would occur in 70 AD. when the temple was destroyed by the Romans. That fulfills Jeremiah 22:5, where it says this: "But if you will not obey these words, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation." We also see our future hope in this, don't we? Jesus truly leaves a window of hope for us, saying, "You will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This scripture here could refer to his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, or ultimately his second coming that we'll see in Revelation 1:7. "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye shall see him." So for our Lenten season, we got to remain focused on God's call, don't we? Like Jesus, we must not get distracted by fear or opposition. Lent is truly a time to renew our commitment to God's mission for our lives. Hebrews 12:1-2 tells us this: "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith." And we'll see we will embrace God's compassion during this. Jesus longs to gather each one of us under his care. Are we responding to his love, or are we still resisting like Jerusalem was? Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Because we truly have to prepare for his return. This time is truly one to recognize and welcome Christ as now. Let's live in an expectation of hope, ready to receive him with our hearts that proclaim, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Philippians 3:20 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. As we journey through this Lent season, may we find focus and courage in Christ's unwavering mission. May we have find comfort in his compassion, I get that word out, and urgency in the prophetic warning. Let us not reject his call today, but let us respond with faith, trusting in the one who will always walk steadfast toward the cross for our salvation. And again, as we journey through this Lenten season, we're invited to reflect deeply, aren't we, on the heart of Christ, on the heart of Jesus and his true mission. Today's passage again, we witness Jesus' unwavering commitment and his purpose despite opposition and his profound compassion for Jerusalem. The passage truly speaks to us about the perseverance of faith, the urgency of repentance, and the boundless love for Christ. The Pharisees warned Jesus about Herod's desire to kill him, possibly as a ploy to remove him. But Jesus remained undeterred, didn't he? He declared that he will continue his work of healing and casting out demons until his appointed time. Not for the Pharisees to call on him, right? Not for Herod's time, right? But God's time. Amen. That reminds us that our faithful journey will face opposition, won't it? But we must trust in God's plan and be ready to continue to walk in obedience to his will. When we're faced with trials and opposition, do we remain faithful to God's word, or do we turn? Jesus teaches each one of us the importance of courage and perseverance in that face of adversity. Jesus expressed deep sorrow for Jerusalem, did he? Lamenting how often he longed to gather his people like hens gather their chicks. That image shows us the tender love and the care of Christ has. A love that longs to protect and to save. Despite those rejections, Jesus continues to call people to Himself, even today. Amen. Are we responding to Christ's invitation today? Or are we resisting His call? But as followers of Christ, do we reflect the compassion by reaching out to the lost and to the broken? Or are we still living worldly today? Jesus warns that Jerusalem's house will be left desolate because they have rejected Him. Yet He also gives a hope, don't He, that one day they will acknowledge Him as their Lord and their Savior. That highlights His urgency of repentance. God's grace is available, amen. But rejecting Him also leads to spiritual desolation for us. Are there any areas in our lives where we're resisting God's will today? Lent itself can be a time for us to examine our hearts, to repent, and to turn back to Christ. Amen? This Lenten season calls us for reflection, the compassionate heart of Christ, His unwavering mission, and His invitation to receive His love. As we meditate on this passage, let us renew our commitment to follow Him with our courage, responding to His call with humility, and extend His love to others. May we not miss the opportunity to embrace Christ fully today, declaring, "Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord." Lord, in this Lenten season, may You soften our hearts to Your call. May You give us the courage to remain faithful in the face of trials. May You help us to embrace Your love and extend it to others. May we not turn away from You and Your call, but respond with our hearts open for Your grace today. As they come for the final song, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I thank You for Your message today, Lord. Lord, I thank You for Your Spirit speaking through me, Lord. Lord, Your words and not mine today, Lord. Lord, I thank You for the blessing in Your message today, Lord. Lord, I just ask that You put on our hearts today, Lord, the true need, Lord, to truly be reflective right now, Lord. Lord, to truly live Christ-like, Lord. Lord, not what the world tells us is right, Lord. Lord, but what God tells us, Lord. Lord, may You put somebody in front of us this week, Lord, that we can tell about Your mercy, Your grace, Lord, and Your love, Lord. Lord, more importantly, about Your time on the cross, Lord. Lord, the fact that Your Son loved us enough to give us a way out of death, hell, and damnation, Lord. Lord, that we don't have to worry about living in desolation, Lord, because we got an earthly kingdom, or a heavenly kingdom, Lord, that we can look forward to in the future, Lord. Lord, again, may You put somebody in front of us this week, Lord. We ask You to be with us till the next service. In Your name I pray. And everybody say it.